Now, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi continues to hang on to the articles of impeachment against President Trump. She says she's waiting to see what the trial in the Senate would look like before appointing managers and sending charges over there. The impasse is likely to stretch into the new year as the House is on a two-week holiday break. Meanwhile, after House Democrats voted to impeach Trump last week, the Trump administration is reportedly preparing to say that he can't be considered to be formally impeached until Pelosi advances the articles. Despite the uncertainty, our guest says one thing is for sure, the impeachment effort subverts the Constitution. David Rifkin is a constitutional lawyer in Washington, D.C. He served at the Justice Department and the White House Counsel's Office during the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations. He's co-written opinion pieces on the current impeachment effort in the Wall Street Journal. David, thanks a lot for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Well, there's a lot of twists and turns from day to day, but big picture, why do you say the impeachment push is effectively illegitimate?
Well, what I've written about is that the substance of the articles of impeachment does not rise to the level of high crime and misdemeanor. I believe that the president cannot possibly commit high crime and misdemeanor while discharging the core constitutional powers of his office. Whether you like or dislike his phone call with Zelensky, he was squarely within his right as president to direct American foreign policy. That entails talking to the recipients of American foreign aid in a situation where I believe there may have been instances of past corruption that need to be looked at or cured to ensure that no similar activities occur in the future. In fact, it rarely happens at the presidential level, but believe me, there's government officials at the ambassadorial level, Secretary of State level, sometimes law enforcement level, director of FBI, travels, visits his foreign counterparts. Talks all the time about corruption. In fact, I think the Secretary of State for Political Affairs just visited Lebanon a couple of days ago, and the corruption within the Lebanese political establishment was very prominently featured in the discussions and in the press releases.
The argument has been, especially from House Democrats, that it isn't the push toward corruption to stop corruption they're worried about, but the appearance that the president had wanted foreign leaders to investigate. The political opponent is likely or a likely political opponent in the 2020 elections, that it wasn't the business of the United States he was advocating for, but for his own. That's why at least the House leaders have said they've pursued impeachment.
Yeah, I think it's a specious argument. Yes, their argument is, if you look at the report prepared by the House Judiciary Committee's majority staff, they're saying that the president can commit high crime and misdemeanor even if what he is doing is otherwise legal because he's acting for corrupt motives. I think this argument is constitutionally untenable. To enable the House to inquire into the president's motives, then facially, clearly, what he is doing is meant to address a perfectly legitimate issue of foreign policy, to me, is completely untenable. And moreover, I mean, my secondary argument is, how do we know that he did not have a non-corrupt motive? Is it possible that he had a raison d'etat-based motive, but also a political motive? Look, as I mentioned in my op-ed, virtually everything that presidents do in our democracy or leaders do in any democratic body polity has some political dimension. Let me ask you this. If Trump were to call, let's say a transcript emerged completely, didn't happen to the best of my knowledge, but imagine this, that Trump called President Xi of China and said to him, look, elections are coming. I really would like you to give me a good trade deal. Okay. It clearly would advantage U.S. national interests, right? We want to have, better trade relations with China, but don't steal our intellectual property, but it also have a political dimension. What about a deal with North Korea to denuclearize that country? Would it not have a political dimension? Think of any foreign policy issue, does not have a political dimension. So what? The president is not supposed to discharge his constitutional functions because it may have a political dimension? That's absurd.
Now, are you worried that, as the president has suggested, this would cheapen impeachment for future presidents?
Yes, I do. In fact, my primary interest is what it does to the separation of powers. Look, the framers debated, were not super excited, contrary to what a lot of people may believe now, about the impeachment power. They understood that it is capable of overriding the democratic choice because we are a constitutional republic, but we're still a democracy. And it also, there's a real concern that would make the president a ward of Congress. I'm always paraphrasing the way the framers put it. They rejected the language that would have allowed impeachment for maladministration, believing that it's infinitely capacious. We have basically Democrats impeaching the president for maladministration because they think either what he asked of Ukraine was not worthy of being asked, or he asked it for the wrong reason. That completely distorts the separation of powers, weakens the presidency at the expense of Congress, and frankly sets a horrible precedent for the future. So this is well beyond issues of fairness to Trump as this current sitting president. I mean, that's real too, but my primary concern is about what it does to the separation of powers.
Talking to David Rivkin, constitutional lawyer in Washington, D.C. He served at the Justice Department and the White House Counsel's Office during the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations. We're talking about the current impeachment effort. He's been writing pieces in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere saying that this isn't what impeachment is for, that this current effort subverts the Constitution. Ultimately, you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. Getting into the day by day, David, now, what do you make of this decision by the House, by Speaker Pelosi, to hold on to the articles of impeachment, at least for now, saying, hey, let's see if the Senate is going to deal with this fairly?
In other, unfortunately, I'll leave a political dimension out of it, but from a constitutional perspective, it's extremely unfortunate. Look, the Constitution divides the impeachment power between the House and the Senate, and that was important to the framers because they expected the Senate to act as a cooling saucer to the more populist House. The impeachment is completed in the House. It was up to the House to determine what procedures they would follow with impeachment. It's up to the Senate determine what procedures are going to follow an impeachment trial. Speaker Pelosi has absolutely no basis, no standing at all, to insist on any particular procedures in the Senate anymore. I mean, she can criticize, of course, what the Senate is going to do, but she has no right to insist on it, just like the Senate could and did criticize. There was a resolution by a Republican caucus in the Senate criticizing the House procedures, but the Senate did not tell the House, you have to do it this way or else. That's point number one. Point number two, the impeachment is complete. I disagree with those who say that it has not taken place. The jurisdiction now has passed to the Senate. The Senate has a constitutional duty to conduct an impeachment trial. It's very important. This is not like legislation that comes from a House where the Senate can sit on. Now, the Senate can be collegial vis-a-vis the House, can give them some reasonable time, a few days, maybe a couple weeks, to appoint the managers. And send the articles over. But if it does not happen, the Senate, in my opinion, has a constitutional, not just a constitutional right, but a constitutional duty to proceed with the impeachment trial on its own. And frankly, it can do it without House managers. If House managers don't show up, it basically means that the House forfeits its case. Okay? Just like with any prosecution. Impeachment is similar to an indictment. I mean, think about it. If you're being charged with something, and you get to court, and the prosecutor doesn't show up, and the prosecutor has the burden of production and persuasion, the prosecutor loses. So she would forfeit her case. But she cannot possibly prevent the Senate from holding the trial.
I want to give a listen to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talking about this issue and the withholding, for now at least, of the articles of impeachment. This is him speaking on Thursday.
Some House Democrats imply they're withholding the articles or some kind of leverage, so they can dictate the Senate process to senators. I admit, I'm not sure what leverage there is in refraining from sending us something we do not want. But alas, if they can figure that out, they can explain it. Meanwhile, other House Democrats seem to be suggesting they'd prefer never to transmit the articles. Fine with me.
As you mentioned, you don't want to get into the politics here, but is part of the problem we have when we're trying to do impeachment that the Constitution doesn't give a lot of detail, and B, we don't have a lot of precedent from past examples?
The Constitution does not provide a lot of details, but the Constitution provides sufficient guidance. Constitution says clearly that the power of impeachment is in the House. The power to conduct the impeachment trial is in the Senate. That is all the guidance that one needs. The House has completed the impeachment process. By the way, there are people who are arguing, for example, that, well, the impeachment is not really complete until the articles are sent to the House. The reason I find this argument to be implausible is because the impeachment power is lacking what is called the presentment clause. Your listeners, presentment clause is a language of the Constitution that in the legislative context requires, doesn't just allow, requires the legislation to be sent to the president, right? So president can exercise, can either acquiesce or exercise his veto power, which can be overridden depending on the political balance. There's no presentment clause in the impeachment context. So the impeachment is complete at the time the House votes on the articles of impeachment. And they did. And they told the world the president is impeached. They cannot pause this, okay? The Senate has a constitutional duty to conduct an impeachment trial. To basically countenance what Speaker Pelosi is doing would mean that the House can effectively sabotage, going forward, the constitutional duty that's allocated to the Senate. It can conduct an impeachment and just sit on it. That cannot be true.
We're talking about the impeachment effort against President Trump. Our guest says it undermines the Constitution. David Rifkin is a constitutional lawyer who served at the Justice Department and White House Counsel's Office under Presidents Reagan and George H.W. Bush. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Democrats are using impeachment as a political weapon? Is President Trump getting a fair shake? Do you think that impeachment is the appropriate tool in this situation? What do you think of the Speaker Pelosi's decision to not pass these articles of impeachment on, at least not yet, to the Senate? And finally, what are you looking for in a Senate impeachment trial? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation on the impeachment efforts against President Trump. Constitutional lawyer David Rifkin is with us. He served at the Justice Department and White House Counsel's Office during the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations. He's co-written opinion pieces on President Trump's impeachment in the Wall Street Journal. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the impeachment proceedings. Do you think, are you glad that the House voted to impeach? What do you want to see out of the Senate? Do you agree with our guest that this is not a legitimate process, ultimately? You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll go right to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Bayfield. Jeff, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think that David kind of presented an inaccurate argument early when he was talking about it'd be kind of like if Trump set up a deal with China, a trade deal with China, or if Trump set up a nuclear deal with North Korea. And in both of those cases, I would think that anybody on either side of the aisle would say those are things that, if done the right way, could be for the common good. But what we had in this situation, David, was we had a president who had a deal worked out with Ukraine for the defense of Ukraine from the second or maybe third biggest military power in the world right now. And he was withholding that deal. He was withholding that deal. He was not creating a deal at this point. He was not the deal maker, no art of the deal. And he was doing so to start an investigation in something that was debunked and really had no merit. If David, if you could maybe find some people that say, oh yeah, there's clearly something for the common good regarding the Bidens in Ukraine, to start an investigation into them. But
Jeff, thanks for the call. I want to bring David. David, what do you think?
Let me just say briefly, look, you may well disagree with the proposition that it was worth investigating past allegedly corrupt episodes in Ukraine history. And I say allegedly because they've not been proven. You may disagree using military aid as leverage, but let me assure you, it happens every day that the recipients of U.S. aid are pushed on a variety of issues to obtain policy outcomes. Nothing unique about it with Trump. Again, mentioned Lebanon earlier. We are articulated public. They're going to withhold considerable aid we give to the Lebanese armed forces, okay? And it's important to us because Lebanese armed forces, sort of the only one of a few remaining non-sectarian institutions in Lebanon. And we have issues with Hezbollah and Iran. So it's very much in our interest to give aid to Lebanese armed forces. we're going to withhold it unless the Lebanese state addresses rampant corruption in Lebanon. Okay, now you'd say to me, well, there is corruption in Lebanon. Nobody disagrees with it. There is no corruption in Ukraine. But that's your opinion. You may be right. You may be wrong. But you cannot possibly impeach the president for doing something that's in his opinion and on its face is a perfectly legitimate exertion of legislative power. Otherwise, why for example, I very much oppose something called JCPOA, the nuclear deal with Iran. I thought it was utterly wrong, utterly inconsistent with our national security interests. I never suggested that President Obama should be impeached for it. I mean, there are all sorts of things the president is doing foreign affairs that people disagree with or members of Congress disagree with. Cannot possibly be a basis for an impeachable offense, because if it is, we're back to maladministration. And maladministration, that 18th century parlance, was precisely what the caller describes, which is the president doing something that somebody else in Congress disagrees with. Does not think it's good administration, thinks it's maladministration. Cannot be true. Framers rejected that, because that would make the president a ward of Congress.
Jeff, thanks for that call. Talking to David Rivkin about the latest on impeachment. Back to your calls. Mike is with us in Edgerton. Mike, hi. Are you there, Mike?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I'm here. My problem is during the hearings, the Republicans, instead of trying to ramrod the procedures and basically going off the end on issues surrounding the hearing, why didn't they ask some of these questions and put forth whatever evidence they had instead of trying to append the process through procedures?
Mike, thanks for the call. I feel like I got to sit here and listen to a lot of these. Mike's right that the Republicans did talk about procedures a lot. It did seem like they challenged the substance of the accusations involved in these articles of impeachment. David?
Frankly speaking, in my opinion, I hate to sound snarky, they did not do a glorious job. If it were up to me, I would have argued first and foremost that those types of charges inherently, as a matter of law, cannot amount to high crime and misdemeanors, and the details are almost irrelevant, okay? Now, that's me. I'm not the House of Representatives. Now, they had perfectly legitimate gripes about procedures. I would say that the House Democrats used procedures that were far less fair than the case with either the President Clinton impeachment or the way the House of Representatives approached the Nixon situation. Remember, Nixon resigned before the impeachment was complete. Or if you look at the late earliest example of the impeachment of Andrew Johnson during the Reconstruction period following Civil War. But to me, again, procedures be darned. To me, the fundamental problem here is the House is trying to impeach the president for something that cannot conceivably, under any set of facts, amount to high crime and misdemeanors. One other point, I think listeners should appreciate, that they're really impeaching the president because, leaving aside the partisanship, let's give it a most charitable explanation. They disagree with his foreign policy. I already made the point about maladministration. And you know how we know that? Every single witness they called expressed their considered judgment, and all foreign policy professionals, about what should have been the U.S. foreign policy towards Ukraine. That the interest of prompt dispensation of military aid, let's forget whether or not it was withheld for how long, but prompt dispensation of military aid, an opinion of people from the NSC, from the State Department, was so important that it brooked no delay. Only one problem. Their opinion does not matter at all. The only opinion that matters in this issue is the president's. Okay, because it's his discretion. He is the head of the executive branch. He decides. When President Obama was in office, he decided. Now President Trump decides. It doesn't matter what a bunch of foreign policy professionals, frankly, or members of Congress think. It ain't their decision.
Time for one more caller. Judy is with us in Appleton. Judy, hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling because I'm so upset listening to people who are trying to make arguments that Nancy Pelosi is withholding the articles of impeachment from the Senate without any, basically holding it hostage. That's not true. It's a procedure. She is following procedure. She told that to everyone on national television. Why don't people understand that? And it's the same procedure that was set up when Clinton was impeached. That's all I've got to say. I'm just very angry. I think the president does need to be impeached.
Judy, thanks for the call. David, just 30 seconds left or so for you to tackle that.
It's not true. She has basically indicated, and I don't think it would last, frankly, that she's going to definitely uphold the articles of impeachment. Appalling every other impeachment, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton, the articles of impeachment went to the Senate in short order, and the impeachment manager was selected by the House. That's not what's happening here. She has absolutely no right to insist on any particular Senate procedures, any more than the Senate had a constitutional right to insist on any particular House procedures. I don't remember the Senate. I know individual members of the Senate criticized the secrecy of Intelligence Committee hearings, but this were just statements of policy. No, she's completely out of line. This whole thing is, not to use too strong of the word, in my opinion, is an abomination from a constitutional perspective, whether you like President Trump or not.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure.
David Rifkin is a constitutional lawyer in Washington, D.C. He served at the Justice Department and the White House Counsel's Office during the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations. We talked to him about President Trump's impeachment and why he says the effort subverts the Constitution.